Hey everyone, welcome back. Ever feel like just scratching the surface when it comes to online security? Well, get ready because today we're diving deep, really deep, into the world of security operations.
Behind the scenes stuff.
Exactly. It's like peeking behind the curtain to see how things really stay safe online. And we've got our hands on this, well, it reads like a guidebook, actually, all about security operations. And we're going to unpack it all,
The
especially
good
the
stuff.
good stuff, especially the digital forensics part. You know, those digital fingerprints we leave everywhere. Yeah,
Everywhere.
we're going
We
there.
leave those everywhere, yeah. It's what's really striking, I think, is just how much the world of security has, shifted.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, you think back a few years, it was all about physical security.
Right.
Locks on the doors, guards, the works.
Yeah.
But now it's all about cybersecurity.
Totally.
Data breaches, they can be way more damaging than a break-in. And the tools, the techniques that are used to investigate them, constantly evolving.
It's true. Makes you realize just how much data we generate every single day, right? Just by living our lives. So let's break it down a little bit. Security operations. What does it actually even mean? It's a lot more than just, stopping hackers, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's much bigger than that. I mean, it really is more of a proactive approach. You're trying to identify threats, figure out where you're vulnerable, and most importantly, have a plan.
Be prepared.
If something happens, boom, you know what to do. That means you gotta know how to investigate.
Right.
Is it a data breach? Is it someone messing with company policy?
Right.
Gotta get to the bottom of it.
So speaking of investigations, this guide we've got, it breaks them down into different types: administrative, criminal, civil, and regulatory. So I'm guessing it's not quite as simple as like one size fits all.
Oh, absolutely not. Each one of those, they have their own triggers, their own implications. Like, let's take administrative investigations, for instance. Those usually happen within an organization. Maybe an employee's violating company policy,
Right.
thing like data breaches or harassment claims,
Yeah.
or even something as simple as why did the system crash?
Yeah.
Gotta figure it out.
So less about breaking the law and more about maybe breaking the company code of conduct or something like
Yeah,
that. What
exactly.
about criminal investigations? I feel like those are the ones that,
Make the
they
headlines.
really grab the headlines.
And that's when law enforcement gets involved.
Right.
Because now you're talking about suspicion of an actual crime,
Right.
fraud, hacking, theft, you name it.
Yeah.
Serious legal stuff.
Right. So the stakes are much higher.
Way higher.
And the burden of proof is higher too. And that's where it gets really tricky, I imagine, for security professionals. Because you're trying to, I mean, you're responsible for preserving evidence, you're cooperating with the authorities, but you're also trying to protect your organization's interests.
It's a tightrope walk for sure.
Yeah.
And then you've got your civil investigations. Now, those often come from disputes, two parties going at it,
Okay.
breach of contract, maybe intellectual property theft, that sort of thing. And here's the thing, it's less about punishment.
Yeah.
It's more about can we get the evidence to back up a legal claim?
I see.
Maybe get some financial compensation.
Okay, so different goals, different playing field. What about regulatory? Those always sound a little intimidating.
Oh, they can be, because now you've got government agencies breathing down your neck.
Right.
They
Yeah.
think you're violating some kind of industry regulation. Could
Yeah.
be anything. Environmental violations, data privacy breaches, stuff that can hit a company where it hurts,
Yeah.
big fines, reputation damage, the whole nine yards.
It's a good reminder that security operations are about so much more than just like, preventing a break-in. It's about all these potential threats, internal, external, the whole.
The whole shebang. The
Yeah.
whole shebang. And no matter what type of investigation we're talking about, evidence is key.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to this whole world of digital forensics, right? I mean, how do you even begin to collect and handle evidence in the digital world?
Right.
It's not like you can dust for fingerprints.
Well, you'd be surprised, actually.
Really?
The principles, they're pretty similar. The methods, a little different. But you know that low-card exchange principle?
Refresh my memory.
It basically says every contact leaves a trace. Well, guess what? That's true in the digital world, too.
So you're saying even in the digital world, you can't just disappear without a trace. It's like, what's that saying? The internet is written in ink, not pencil.
Exactly. Every click, every download, every email, it all leaves a footprint. a digital footprint and digital forensics. Mm-hmm. That's about finding those footprints, analyzing them, and putting the pieces together. So let's say we're dealing with a potential security breach. What are some of the things a digital forensics expert would be looking for? Give me the goods.
Oh, we're talking about a smorgasbord of potential evidence here. Log files, browsing history, deleted files, you name it, we want it. Even that metadata attached to documents. For example, did you know that every time you snap a pic with your phone, it's embedding information about where that photo was taken?
No way.
Oh, yeah. That's metadata, and it can be crazy valuable in an investigation.
You're kidding. I had no idea about that. So even if someone deleted the photo itself, that location data could still be there.
Boom, hiding in the metadata.
Wow.
And that's just one example. We're also looking at timestamps, you know, to create these timelines of events. We'll analyze internet history, see what websites were visited. We can even recover deleted files that someone thought were gone forever.
It's amazing and a little unnerving how much information just like from what seems like nothing.
Absolutely.
Just these tiny little details.
And that's why you got to handle digital evidence correctly. This guidebook, it dives deep into all the different types of evidence. Primary, secondary, real, direct, circumstantial, you name it. Understanding those little nuances, that's what separates the pros from the amateurs.
Okay, so let's break down these different types of evidence. Mm. Because it sounds like understanding all these little subtleties could be the difference between a slam dunk case and a not guilty verdict.
You got it. You hit the nail on the head. It really can be.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll dive into those different types of evidence.
Okay.
You've got your primary evidence, right?
Okay.
That's the original, the actual hard drive where the data lives.
Okay.
That's the big kahuna in court, carries the most weight.
Makes sense.
Then you've got your secondary evidence.
Okay.
That's like a copy of a document. It helps, but it's not got the same legal oomph as the original.
It's interesting, though, because the digital world, it kind of blurs those lines a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Because is a copy of a digital file really like secondary when it's identical to the original?
It's a great point. And that's honestly, that's a real challenge in digital forensics.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to document every step when you make those copies. You have to be able to prove it's accurate.
Right.
Every single bit. We're talking bit for bit accuracy.
Wow.
Then there's real evidence, which is, you know, the physical stuff.
Okay.
The actual computer, the phone itself.
Got it.
And then there's direct evidence. This one's pretty straightforward. It directly proves something. Like a witness who saw someone logging into a system without permission.
Oh, okay.
They saw it with their own two eyes.
So it's not just about finding that, like, digital smoking gun.
Right.
It's also about understanding the context.
Exactly.
Having witnesses, you know, to corroborate.
Exactly. You got to build that case.
Yeah.
And then there's circumstantial evidence.
Okay.
This one's big in digital investigations because it's all about connecting the dots.
Yeah.
It's not a direct link, but it allows you to kind of infer something based on what you're seeing.
I see.
Like, let's say we find someone's been searching for hacking techniques online.
Oh.
And then, boom, a company's system gets hacked.
Yeah.
That's circumstantial.
Right.
It's not a smoking gun, but it definitely adds to the story.
Right. It paints a picture, especially when you combine it with other things.
Exactly. Like a puzzle. And then you've got corroborative evidence, which is basically backing up existing evidence.
Got it.
Think security footage confirms a witness's story.
Okay.
They both say the same thing.
Right. It checks out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got hearsay.
Right. Right.
Which is basically just gossip.
My cousin's friend's neighbor said.
Exactly. And as juicy as it might be, it doesn't really hold up in court.
Right.
Not reliable. Speaking of reliability, let's talk about the best evidence rule, a real cornerstone of this whole thing.
Okay, lay it on me.
It basically says that whenever possible, you go with the original evidence.
Makes sense. But again, with the digital stuff, it gets a little, I don't know.
Fuzzy.
Yeah, fuzzy.
Yeah.
Because what happens when the original is a digital file that you can copy a million times.
Exactly. And that's why those forensically sound copies are so important. We have to be able to prove that what we're showing in court is accurate, that it hasn't been tampered with.
It's like taking a digital snapshot of the evidence, you know?
Exactly. Frozen in time.
Right.
From the moment it was collected. Speaking of which, this guidebook, it hammers home the chain of custody.
Yes. Tell me of that, because that sounds important.
Oh, it's crucial. It's like a logbook, a really, really detailed logbook.
Okay.
And it tracks every single person who's touched a piece of evidence.
Oh, wow.
From the second it's collected to the minute it's presented in court. Sure. Any little gap, any inconsistency, and suddenly that evidence is questionable.
Oh, wow.
The whole case could fall apart.
So one tiny mistake, even if it's an honest mistake, it could have huge consequences.
Yep. High stakes. And that's why digital forensics, it's meticulous work. It's not just about finding the evidence. It's about protecting it, making sure it holds up in court.
It's intense.
Yeah.
So speaking of intensity, what is it actually like doing that digital detective work? What are some of the tools, the techniques that are used in digital forensics?
Well, imagine trying to solve a puzzle.
Okay.
But the pieces are constantly disappearing.
Oh, no.
Or changing.
Right.
That's digital evidence. It's volatile. Just opening a file, even turning off a computer, it can alter the data.
Oh, wow.
So we have this thing called live evidence analysis.
Live evidence analysis, okay.
Where we examine the device while it's still running.
Okay.
That way, we can capture those really delicate pieces of data, you know, like stuff stored in RAM, which disappears the second you hit the power button.
Oh, wow. So it's all about speed and precision. It's like you're trying to catch like a digital butterfly before it flies away or something.
That's a great way to put it. Requires a certain set of skills and nerves of steel.
Right.
And because working with the live system is risky, we always, always make those exact copies of the hard drive.
Right, right. Just in case.
Exactly. Backup plan. You don't want to be caught with your pants down, accidentally corrupt the only copy of the evidence.
Right, of course, of course. So working with live systems, what other tools do you guys have?
Oh, we've got a whole arsenal of software tools. They help us analyze data, recover deleted files, even piece together those timelines we talked about. We can scan for pretty much anything, specific file types, keywords, even unusual user behavior.
So it's like you've got this digital magnifying glass.
Exactly.
You can see things that, you know, the average person would never even know were there.
Exactly. We can dive deep.
This guidebook also mentions something called e-discovery, and I've always wondered about that. What is that?
So e-discovery, think of it like the bridge between digital forensics and the courtroom.
Okay.
It's basically taking all that electronically stored information, or ESI, right?
And getting it ready to be evidence in court.
Okay, so if digital forensics is finding all those digital clues, e-discovery is presenting them in a way that, you know, a judge and jury can understand.
Exactly.
And that's admissible in court, all that.
Exactly. Making sure it's preserved, properly organized, searchable, all the legal stuff.
So highly specialized.
Oh, yeah.
It's like legal expertise and tech savvy all rolled into one.
It's crucial, especially these days when everyone's life is basically online.
Right, exactly. Speaking of online, we've talked about the where of digital forensics, the hard drives, the RAM, the cloud. But what about the what? Like, what are some actual examples of things, digital artifacts, that you guys look for?
Oh, that's a great question. And you might be surprised. We can find these artifacts pretty much anywhere data is stored or transmitted.
Right.
It's not just computers anymore. We're talking web browsers, smartphones, tablets, you name it, even gaming consoles. Oh, wow. So it really is like the Wild West out there.
No.
So, okay, someone's being super careful. They're deleting files, covering their tracks, all that. Are you saying they're still leaving behind breadcrumbs?
Oh, absolutely. Let's take web browsers, for example.
Yeah.
Every time you go to a website, your browser, it remembers.
It remembers.
Keeps a little record in the history log.
Okay.
And you might think, oh, I cleared my history. I'm good.
Right, right.
Not so fast. Those records can be recovered. And they can tell us a lot about what you've been up to.
It's a good reminder to be mindful, I guess, of what you're doing online.
Absolutely.
It's not just about avoiding those shady websites.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your digital footprint can come back to get you.
Oh, yeah.
What about cookies?
Oh, yeah.
Those are digital artifacts too, right?
Absolutely. Cookies are like little notes.
Okay.
Websites leave them on your computer.
Right.
They track your browsing habits, your preferences, sometimes even your login information. They might seem harmless, but those little cookies, they can hold a lot of personal information.
Oh, what about our smartphones? I mean, those are like attached to us.
Oh, smartphones. They're like gold mines of information.
Right.
Call logs, text messages, GPS, emails, photos, you name it, it's all there.
It's crazy.
Our phones are like extensions of ourselves.
Yeah, it's true.
And they can paint a very, very detailed picture of our lives.
Right. Where we go, who we talk to.
Everything.
What we're into, all of it.
Yeah.
You mentioned GPS data, and that always reminds me of those crime shows where they're like, let's pull up their cell phone records and track their movements.
Oh, yeah.
Is that real?
Oh, yeah. It's not just TV. Law enforcement, investigators, they use that kind of data all the time.
Wow.
And it's not just about you know, tracking your location, even the metadata, remember, attached to those files, that can tell us a lot too.
Right, right.
The date a file was created, accessed, modified, super valuable.
It's a bit unsettling, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about just how much information we're just like constantly spitting out into the world.
It's like we've got these digital shadows following us around.
Right. Makes you want to be a little bit more careful, a little more mindful.
Absolutely. You've got to be. And it's not just about avoiding the bad websites or, you know, what you're posting online.
Okay.
It's understanding that anything you do online, it leaves a mark. And those marks, they can have real world consequences.
Big time. Especially these days, right? Yeah. With data breaches and cybercrime, just like all over the place.
Exactly. And it's not always about protecting yourself from criminals, even. Sometimes it's about protecting yourself from, well, from your own digital footprint, you know?
Right, right.
It could come up in, I don't know, an employment dispute, a divorce, an insurance claim.
Right. Something you never even thought about.
Right. So much of our lives is online now.
It's almost like we have to start thinking like digital detectives ourselves, you know?
A little bit.
Just be a little more aware of those traces we're leaving. So I guess to kind of wrap things up here, I mean, we've talked about how powerful digital forensics can be.
Right.
Especially when it comes to, you know, actual crimes. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, right? Because the same techniques apply to so many other areas of life.
Absolutely.
So the more you understand how it all works,
the
better equipped you are to protect yourself.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power,
right?
It's not just the technical side of it either. You got to know the legal implications of what we do online.
Right.
And we need to be pushing for policies that make sense, ones that keep us safe, but also protect our privacy.
Right, because that's a huge part of it too. We can't forget about privacy in this whole conversation.
Right, absolutely.
It's about finding that balance.
It is. It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. We want to protect ourselves, but not at the cost of, you know, our basic rights.
That's the million-dollar question right there. Maybe that's a deep dive for another day.
Exactly. Well, this has been incredible. I've learned so much about security operations, digital fingerprints, how even the tiniest little digital breadcrumb can, you know.
It's amazing, right?
It can blow the whole thing open. So seriously, thank you so much for being our guide. This world of digital forensics, it's fascinating.
It is.
And a little bit scary.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you for, you know, walking us through it all.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I could talk about this stuff all day.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our next deep dive into another fascinating topic. Until then, stay curious.